Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Now, the terminology here is difficult because what we commonly call abortion, it's a technically accurate term, but it really is fetal homicide. Now, in law, it isn't, but there is such a thing as fetal homicide in law, and it touches directly upon the central issue of those who want to protect the unborn and see them brought to full term. Joining us to talk about fetal homicide laws here on Issues, Etc., Carol Tobias. She's president of National Right to Life, based in Washington, D.C. Carol, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Todd. It's great to be back.
A horrifying, grisly case that out in Colorado that is raising this issue, and the issue of fetal homicide laws. Give us the outline of the case and how it connects to our concerns.
Okay. Michelle Wilkins was a young woman, 7 months pregnant, answered an ad in Craigslist. You know, someone said, I've, got baby clothes. So she went to this home, and horrible case, heartrending case. The woman that answered the door took her downstairs into the basement, presumably to show her the baby clothes. Instead, she beat the Michelle and cut out her unborn child. Left her down in the basement, apparently to die, and went upstairs. Well, Michelle was able, apparently with her cell phone, to call 911. And I'm not quite sure I have all this, but I think what happened is that the ambulance came, took her to the hospital, and then the husband came home and went upstairs and found his wife, the woman who had done this horrible deed, found her in the bathtub holding the baby, saying that she had miscarried. I think anybody that looks at this case has to understand or believe that there's got to be some mental problems or concerns with the woman here. She had told her family she was pregnant when she wasn't, and this way she somehow ended up with a 7-month baby, by almost killing this other woman. So the big problem now for the courts in Colorado is, do we charge this woman with attempted murder on Michelle Wilkins? And what do we do with the fact that there is a 7-month child that is now dead? The baby did not survive. They're saying that they cannot charge her for the death of that baby because under Colorado law, that baby is not recognized as a human being.
Now, there have been attempts, and there have been many successful attempts, to pass fetal homicide laws, but the opposition kind of connects the dots. What is the argument that are made often by the opposition against fetal homicide laws, especially when it comes to the connection to abortion?
Well, they would argue that if you're going to say, homicide or any attack on a pregnant woman that results in the death of her unborn child, if the courts are going to recognize that unborn child as a human being and charge, criminal penalties against the perpetrator, that you are putting certain status on that unborn child that they don't think should be established. They want the unborn child to be faceless, nameless, formless. It's a body, a mass of cells, blood, tissue, whatever it is. They just don't want to acknowledge any kind of human form or capacity for that unborn child. So they fight these kinds of laws because they don't want the unborn child to be recognized as a human being in any manner whatsoever.
So they would say, well, the only crime that was committed here was the attempted murder of the mother.
Yes, and that's actually one of the biggest problems we had. Now, 29 states do have what is usually referred to or called an Unborn Victims of Violence Act, which recognizes the unborn child can be or would be considered a victim if killed while there is an attack on the mother, or even, even in car accidents. If a pregnant woman is in an accident and it's the fault of the other driver, they can be charged with two crimes if the unborn child and the mother are both injured or killed. That was 29 states. Another 8 states have some limits. Once the child has reached the stage of viability, some of them use the term unborn quick child. So it's going to be later in the pregnancy if something happens to that baby, then the state would, can consider that unborn child a victim in a crime. But what the other side, what the proponents of abortion would say is don't recognize that unborn child. Just say that the penalties should be tougher if the victim is an unborn, is a pregnant woman. Well, that makes no sense at all. If she's pregnant but she's not carrying another human being, then why should the penalties be any tougher against her? So they're kind of caught in a tough position of trying to recognize that there's another life that could be involved, but not wanting to recognize that there is another life involved.
We all remember the case of Scott and Lacey Peterson, this story of a man who killed his pregnant wife and did away with her. But finally, her remains were found. And if I'm not mistaken, he was charged with 2 murders, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Now, that's the common sense way of approaching it. Are we saying here that the opponents of, the proponents of abortion that make them the opponents of fetal homicide laws are simply violating the common sense of this gruesome situation?
They are. I mean, there was a bill passed about 10 years ago, 2004, that would make this a crime to kill or injure an unborn child in the process of a federal crime. And during that time, we were hearing stories of women who had been assaulted or they were in car accidents and their unborn child was not being recognized as a human being. So the opponents of these measures are bucking national opinion. At that time, there were polls showing 84% of the public would say, of course, you have to recognize that there's another life involved. So it's, they're bucking common sense. And in this case, the baby, apparently, I'm just reading the news stories, apparently the baby did take a breath. So Colorado may be able to charge this woman with killing, with attempted murder on the mother and killing the baby. But that isn't by any means sure or settled. And it's kind of hard to acknowledge that, here's the baby. They took the baby to the hospital, said this was a miscarriage, and yet the state of Colorado is going to say, "I'm sorry, we don't recognize that as a human being."
The fear-mongering on the other side is, well, if you get these laws, then they will be used against women seeking to have abortions. Is there any track record of using fetal homicide laws in an attempt to prosecute women having abortions?
No. Some of these laws have been on the books for 10, 20, 30 years, and it has not done anything to the abortion laws. And in fact, most of them have an exception that says if the child is killed in the process of an abortion, that is exempt from this law.
But as a matter of principle, and the principle here being, as you mentioned before, the need to protect the unborn and the recognition of the unborn as human beings, these fetal homicide laws are pretty important, aren't they?
Oh, they really are. I mean, quite frankly, I think it shows society that we are two-faced. On the one hand, we are saying you can kill an unborn child. Abortion is legal. We're not going to do anything about it. In fact, some people would fight that our tax dollars should be used to even pay for those abortions. And yet at the same time, society is saying, look, if this mother, unfortunately, if it's only because the mother wanted this child that she was carrying through with the pregnancy, if there is a death of that child, then we should recognize that. And whoever committed that crime or assaulted the mother, killed the baby, should be held responsible. So maybe it's good that we're keeping this in the public conscience that, it can't be right in one circumstance and not in the other.
Carol Tobias is president of National Right to Life based in Washington, D.C. You can find out more about National Right to Life at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Carol, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Raymond Ibrahim. We all heard the stories about the bombings of Shia Mosque in Yemen, and some of us were confused that it was ISIS claiming credit for these multiple simultaneous bombings. That would be Muslim-on-Muslim violence. There is an explanation for it, although it doesn't always make a lot of sense to us. We'll get that explanation from Raymond Ibrahim on the other side of the break. Dr. Alvin Schmidt will join us after that. Staying on the subject of Islam, there was a recent discussion on The Daily Show, Jon Stewart asking about whether or not Islam needs a reformation and pointing out that the Christian Reformation, as he says, created about 100 years of violence. Isn't that exactly what Islam is doing right now? Dr. Alvin Schmidt will respond to that, and then Pastor Sam Schultheis will join us. We'll talk about Christian themes in the TV series The Walking Dead. Stay tuned. Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. in 5 minutes.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues, Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March is a giant poster of Luther's Small Catechism. It's perfect for display in your home, Christian day school, or Sunday school. You can browse before you buy at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Small Catechism giant poster by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for March, the Small Catechism giant poster.
The grace of God, the church's music, the Lord's Supper, every service, every Sunday, and Wednesdays too, preaching Christ crucified and risen. There is hope in St. Louis, Hope Lutheran Church, that is, 5218 Neosho Street, St. Louis, Missouri, or find us on the web at hopelutheranstl.org.